I wonder if the speaking of voice actors, I know we're going to cover the news, but I have to bring this up because I thought it was funny. When they announced Will Wheaton was doing a voice in that Steam game for the 3DS, people actually did not buy that game because of that. They hate that man that much.
I had no idea that he was like a dickhole. So.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he... I mean, I don't mean to get too far down like the feminism bullshit, but he posted this poll in the men's right activism forum. Yeah. Asking them, like, what are your beliefs and stuff? Just trying to get, like, an idea. Because he, like, people were saying, like, you have no concept of who posts on this board. So he was like, okay, I'll post a poll, and then I will base my thoughts based on how people answer the poll. So it's like, how old are you? Where do you live in the country? What are your views and stuff? And he posted the results on his blog, and they were like quite obviously gamed. Like if you looked at the poll results, which were available publicly, you could see that there were like hundreds of submissions that were all submitted within seconds of each other, like within 2 seconds. So it's like, okay, that was a bot, obviously, right? And then like the submissions implied that everybody was like teenagers who had ultra conservative values, but like smoked weed all the time, and then like had the strong belief that women should be 100% obedient to them. And it's like, are you fucking serious? Like,
seriously.
Like, quite obviously gamed. You could have just looked at the bot data to see like that somebody was submitting bots to do it, so that they were just hundreds of submissions seconds within each other. Like, that's obvious, clearly true. And then like the actual data that you were getting was such a caricature of human beings. And like to post that without any humor to it on your blog, to think that that was actually what people think. I mean, you have to be like either so lacking in ethics or just such a complete fucking retard to think that that's true. Like, I can't believe he did that. And then like someone pointed out to him that it was obviously faked, whatever. And he posted a week later on the same blog saying like, I guess my poll was manipulated. And then that's it. Like, he posted that one sentence and that's it. He didn't even say, like, sorry or anything like that, so.
That's amazing. I had no idea that was even a thing that happened. I was watching something he did the other day and I was like, oh, okay. He's not terrible. But now that I know.
Because, like, that's the only thing I can think of that, like, makes me, like, yes, this is a reason to hate him. But otherwise, it's just, like, anytime I see him posting anywhere, it's just this attitude of like, I'm so much better than the people who like my stuff. Like, I'm a nerd, but I'm one of the good ones, you know, like,
gross.
I'm the cool one. These are all the dweebs.
That's how I feel about you guys. Welcome to episode 31 of the Total Control Podcast, brought to you by OpRainfall.com, here where we try and satisfy some, if not all, of your niche gaming needs. I forgot the date, but this is for the week of...
April 18th.
April 18th. 420 blaze it!
Well...
So I'm one of your hosts, Zaro Lopez, and with me today... is Arthur Augustine.
I thought I was going to have to fill your name in for a sec. You were taking a pause.
Yeah, well, see, it's the date. When I don't say the date, I get really thrown off, and it just ruins the rest of the show for me. So,
yeah,
there we go. That's the beginning of the end.
I'm here to pick you up when you fall, man.
Thanks. Thanks, BFF. Kelsey's back on. Hey, Kelsey.
Holy shit, it's me.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
And Steve Baltimore's here.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, you guys. So, I just want to... Oh, yeah, and let me say this last part. Total Control is recorded every week and posted to OpRainfall.com and iTunes. If you enjoy the show, we ask you to please follow us on Twitter at The Total Control. And right now, we're actually giving... they would probably post this after the giveaway is done, but we were giving away a Mewtwo on there. I should be giving away another one in a week. So.
All the more reason to follow us on Twitter. Here's a giveaway that you just missed.
But there will be another one. I have two. So,
mm-hmm.
Fuck, you're rolling in the giveaways.
Yeah. It's Mewtwo for 3DS.
You are
keep this up. Maybe I'll subscribe to your channel, man. Check it out.
Yeah. Dude, maybe you'll actually listen to one of the episodes, Kelsey.
I told you I listened to them.
No, you don't. Let's just start off with what we're playing. And Arthur, I got you last time, so I'm going to get you first this time.
Well, now I'm not playing like anything new, and everyone else is playing something new, I think. But if you really want to start with me, I can bang it out real quick.
Bang it out.
Okay, so the only thing I've been trying to play is a game called Life is Strange, which started coming out earlier this year. It's an adventure game, technically, I think is what it's going to be called.
The Squaresoft game.
Is it Squaresoft? For some reason, like a few weeks ago, I thought it was a Ubisoft game.
I still say Squaresoft, Steve.
Squaresoft. Wasn't there some thing about how they're actually becoming Squaresoft again? Like they were using the trademark again?
Oh, that would be cool if they were. Oh, you know, they're using Shinra. They're making like, they made a Shinra building or something like that.
Yeah.
I forgot. I don't know what it's for. It's like for technology stuff and research or something.
Oh, like not related to video games?
Is it, Steve?
Yeah, it's their streaming service.
Oh, it's their streaming service. Yeah, okay. It's like the worst company in the world, and they are like in the Final Fantasy VII universe.
Well, they sucked the life out of their fan base, just like Shinra sucked the life out of the planet. So, I guess it kind of fits.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, it's a Square Enix game, and the developers don't nod. I don't know what else they've made previously, but it's an adventure game that's getting a bunch of. Some people are talking about it. The main mechanic around it is that you're playing this high school girl who goes to this art school for photography, I think. And
I believe they made Remember Me, that company. They're the Remember Me developers.
You are correct. Yeah. Which everybody, ironically, forgets ever coming out.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Apparently there were some things that were interesting about that game, but... you know, from the few people who have played it, there's actually something worth checking out in that game, but I've never played it. Maybe if it's on sale for like $4, I'll check it out on Steam at some point, but whatever. So the thing with the main character in Life is Strange, you're playing this girl named Max at this school, this art school, and she gets this ability to rewind time. So that's interesting because adventure games these days are all about making choices and decisions, made very popular by the Walking Dead series that shot into stardom a few years ago. So that's what it's all about, really. And what's interesting about the mechanic is you very frequently you'll get to a decision and you'll pick something and then you'll immediately see the reaction from the person that you're interacting with. So like early on in the first episode... You come into odds with like this really popular kind of jockey preppy student that you want to get into trouble. So you have the option to either rat him out to the principal or to sort of keep quiet. And at first, I was like, "All right, I'm going to rat out this guy because you know, fuck him." So I do that, and the principal
says a lot about your character.
Yeah, you know. if you look into the context of what he did, I won't get into it, but it's like it's some pretty scummy stuff. But if you do that, the principal's like, "Well, I don't believe you, and this guy, his family donates a lot of money, so I'm gonna get like the police to investigate you." And you're like, "Well, that doesn't seem very good." So you kind of regret your decision. And you rewind time, and then you're like, "I'm going to do the other option because that one obviously wasn't very good." And then you pick the other option to keep quiet, and then instead, Max, the main character, sort of expresses self-doubt, and then she's sort of like fears for her own life, and she sort of says all these things that are going to happen to her now because she's afraid that no one's going to be protecting her because she didn't report the thing that happened to her. So it's sort of like there are all these choices, and there's never really a good option, and you kind of just have to pick whichever one you feel is the one that you would do at the time.
The worst of two evils.
Yeah. So I like the time reversing mechanic because it sort of allows you to do... The game allows you to do what everybody wants to do in adventure games anyway, which is reload your last save and then do the other thing that you want to do as a motorcycle goes blazing by my house. So that part of it is cool. The one thing I don't like about the game is that I think the writing is trying needlessly to be hip and cool, guys. So I don't know if you've seen these images like going around the internet these days, but there's like just dialogue between the characters, which is really cringeworthy stuff. So there's one of the characters is your friend named Chloe, and Max talks to Chloe at one point, and there's a line of dialogue that says, "Chloe, I need to tell you something that's hardcore."
Wait, really?
Yeah. And like, there's no sense of irony to it at all, or like self-awareness. And like, Chloe specifically is voiced by Ashley Birch, who's known from Hey Ash, What You Playing? And she's been doing a lot of voice acting. She also played Tiny Tina from Borderlands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some people may know who she is. I actually like Ashley Birch a lot, but I don't know if she's adding in these sort of lines or if someone's telling her to say these things, but they're all, like, really bad. Like, she says awesome sauce and, like, all these hip terms from 3 years ago, and it's just bad, you know? Like, and it happens.
That's probably when they were recorded, too.
Right, yeah. Maybe it was recorded a long time ago, and now when it's coming out, it's just really weird. But like it's like kids don't talk like this, first of all. You know, like adults on the internet talk like this from what I can tell.
Yeah.
And then like it's just sort of, in addition to the kids not talking like this, they're just sort of like shoehorned into situations that don't make any sense. Like they'll say awesome sauce in situations where they're high stress. Like they'll be in like a really stressful situation, and then she'll be talking about how she has time reversal things, and then she'll be like, "Wow, that's awesome sauce," you know. And then like all the
reaction stuff that I would give.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's just thrown everywhere. So when I was saying before, like I've been trying to play Life is Strange, so I'm on episode 2 right now, and I played for like 20 to 30 minutes. And then I'm just like, I don't want to do this anymore. like there's something about the game where I want to see where the story is going. And I do like Max's character, and some of the other characters going on are interesting. But then other parts of it are just like kind of obnoxious. And I don't really have faith that the story is going to be something that I want to spend my time with. But I already paid for the whole thing, so
might as well.
Yeah, because there's going to be 5 episodes total. They already announced that the 3rd episode is going to be coming out in May. So it looks like it's going to be coming out in total this whole year, unlike some adventure games, which can get delayed into forever and then eventually not come out at all or something, or get handled very poorly, like The Wolf Among Us, which was kind of handled very poorly.
Yeah, it was.
I remember that.
But it looks like this one will actually be coming out, so I don't know. And it stars like a female protagonist, which is kind of rare these days. So I kind of feel like it, I feel obligated to finish it and just kind of see what it has to say in some regards. So that's what I've been playing mostly.
That's cool. Kelsey, Let's go on to you.
I've been playing. So let me preface this with, I had originally planned to pick up Story of Seasons, and since I wasn't reviewing for the website, I was going to play it off and on while I did, like, you know, other things. No. Like, I got sucked into Story of Seasons super hard. It's probably the best, like, day-to-day Harvest Moon game that I've played in quite some time. So I managed to, like, unhinge myself from that. And I moved on to Pillars of Eternity, which I'm really enjoying.
Can you explain that game? Because I've been hearing good things about it.
The answer is no, by the way.
I'm going to try my best. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
No, I just know because it's like it's not based on D&D because I know that they built it from the ground up and stuff. But like, I know from experience of people trying to explain D&D based games that it's like, I don't even know where to start, you know?
Oh, so it is D&D like.
Ever played Baldur's Gate?
Yeah.
It's pretty much on the same vein of that, yeah. But you have like a completely different character customization and job classes and stuff like that. I think the most interesting thing is for me so far is when I was creating my character, everything has like a plus or a minus or, you know, whatever. So you have two ways you can go. You can go this is what I want my character to do, or you can be super focused on stats right away. I find a lot of games like that, I have a hard time getting into it because I don't know, like, especially if it's my first time, because I jumped on the, like, Baldur's Gate, Neverwinter Nights bandwagon probably, like, 2 years ago. So I'm super late to the party in those. So I like how it gives you the option. You don't have to be like, fuck, I don't know anything about the D&D universe. I don't know anything about this universe. I don't know what to pick. And then 2 hours later, you're like, oh, see, no one told you you should have picked the fucking barbarian, but you totally should have picked the barbarian. So with the older games, I feel like there's an optimal way to play. And if you aren't aware of that, if you're not constantly like fiddling with stats and shit, you're kind of lost. Whereas with Pillars of Eternity, you can go that route if that's what you enjoy about it. But there's also the route open to you that you can just enjoy the story. And I'm about, I want to say about 2 hours in. I'm still in the beginning. Yeah. Like, I wasn't feeling too great lately, so I haven't been able to really dive in. But I'm at the first boss right now, and I'm just, like, blown away by it. One of the other things I really like about it is you don't start with, like, the way you get experience is you kind of explore the world, and you fill up your bestiary. So if I defeat this ghost the first time, then I get experience and it fills my bestiary a little bit. I learn a little bit more about that enemy. And then once it gets completed, I haven't actually completed anything yet, so I couldn't tell you what happens. But I'm assuming something special happens.
I believe it tells you the weaknesses of the enemies, like if they have more damage is done to them through like piercing weapons or something, or if they're weak to fire, then it would tell you in the bestiary or whatever it's called.
That makes sense, because as you slowly level up your BCR, you find out more and more information about it. So that makes a lot of sense. But you don't, like, it's not like, okay, I'm going to run in here, kill all these guys for their experience and their loot, whatever. It's, you're going to go in and you're going to do how you want to do it, not worried about kind of experience, because you're going to get experience from exploring and not from the guys you defeat. So it definitely adds a interesting spin on it. But all in all, I've been enjoying it. It definitely has that old school flavor, but with new age options. Like, there's so much option in it that I love it.
So did you play Baldur's Gate 2 or any of those other ones? You said you were kind of late to the party.
Yeah, I played Baldur's Gate, like, once when I was, like, 14. I think my dad had a copy, and he's like, dude, you gotta play this. So,
yo, dude.
I'm not kidding. That's how he talks.
Okay.
So, I played a little bit of it, but I was, like, super lost.
Okay. Because that's my experience as well. Whenever I see these types of games, I always hear the stories about them of, like, you can do all this stuff, you can totally customize your characters. And people talking about the games is always sounds really cool, but then I play them and it's like, I have no idea what the hell's going on. I'm going to play this game for 2 hours and then uninstall it. You know,
I am actually well versed in those games. I played about all of them when they first come out. On top of being this horrible JRPG guy, I was a big D&D guy too, and I'm the whole nerd in one. I'm like the gambit of nerdism, and. The thing about Baldur's Gate, you know, Baldur's Gate is really cool. And the combat engine in it and Neverwinter Nights are not that much different.
Uh-huh.
They're very much the same thing. But I think what happened when you got to Neverwinter Nights was the world got bigger. You got more options in it. Whereas Baldur's Gate's not, I wouldn't call it linear by any means, but it's like the world just was not as big there as it was by the time you got to Neverwinter. Neverwinter is probably, in my opinion, Neverwinter Nights is the best D&D game ever made. Still to this day.
Yeah, it's amazing still. I picked it up on GOG. Plug! Yeah. And
I did too. And I mean, for that price, the amount of content you get with that and all the different mods you can download to play that game with, you could play that thing forever.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, like
there's still a modding community.
The breadth content was always really impressive to me, but I've always tried playing like Planescape Torment or Baldur's Gate 2, and I would always get 2 hours in and then reach like some impenetrable wall of like not knowing where to go or not knowing like what was going on in the combat and then just keep dying or something. And then I would just sort of give up. And I was just wondering, based off of Kelsey's experience so far, if it seemed like Pillars of Eternity was similar to that, where it just kind of seems like at a certain point you need to like really invest some time and study what the game is all about, or if it's kind of
more lenient. I don't think so. Like I think that's pretty much the beauty of it, and I think that's why so many people are obsessed with it, is because if you're newer to the genre like I am, or you're just old school, there's something there for you. Like I'm not huge on lore unless I fall in love with the game. If I fall in love with the game, then I want to know the lore. But if you're trying to force lore down my throat and I don't know if I like the game, I'm not getting into it. Like, it's just going over my head. I'm taking a nap. Like, but
so you want to put the bestiary into like a lore thing? The fact that you have to like open up a like a compendium,
like, you don't
basically
have to open it. Like, when you hover over the monster, the monster stats kind of pop up in your top left corner, and you can see there, okay, this is what I need to know. And you can open up your character screen if you want to, but they also have it where your characters will tell you, this weapon's not doing any damage. I need to switch weapons. I'm not getting through. So you will be like, oh shit, I gotta change my weapons. And it's really quick. There's like a quick hotbar on for each of your characters. Like, if you have equipped them potions or their backup weapons, you can switch with the click of a button and hit the space bar to pause the screen, unpause it. It's really nice. Like, it's, you can tell there's been a lot of work into it to make it not as intimidating to new people, but while still giving people that enjoy that breadth of an amazing thought out world the chance to really learn. Like, I've been picking up books all over the place that are just lore, and I don't get any benefit from reading them, but I can. So it's, I'm considering it to have pretty much the whole package in regards to pulling in people that maybe aren't familiar with the genre. Maybe you're more of a Skyrim-esque person. You're just kind of there for the open world feel. Or maybe you're just an old school player. It has both. There's definitely some hangups with it that I've found so far. But all in all, I'm really enjoying it.
It kind of sounds like that game did what Oblivion did for the Elder Scrolls series, because when you play Morrowind, it doesn't tell you where to go. You're just kind of thrown out there. But when you get to Oblivion, it kind of puts you some map markers and kind of gives you an ideal of where to go. That was one of my frustrating things with Morrowind, because they just drop you out there and like, okay, go here. And you're like, my God, this map is huge. Where do I go?
Yeah.
And
you know, doing any damage?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's really hard to get started. I mean, I like hard games, but you got to be reasonable, you know, with certain things.
Yeah. You know? I mean, there's there's a good talk at GDC 1 year about there's a difference between difficulty and inaccessibility, whereas, like, there's nothing difficult about not knowing where to go, right? Like, that's not difficult. Like, the difficult is, like, having a boss fight that you need to, like, be better at. But, like, being like, I'm in a town, I don't know how to leave the town, is not difficult. That's just like banging your head against the wall. And I felt like that's like Morrowind, you know?
Exactly, and I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Like, one thing I noticed with Pillars of Eternity, they'll give you a quest, but you kind of have to figure out where it is. Like, they'll tell you. But if you go back and check your quest log, it doesn't tell you exactly where you got to go. So you do have to be paying attention, and I like it because it's not just the Skyrim version of here's exactly where you need to go, even though no one's fucking told you anything. So it's nice in that regard. It definitely makes you feel like you need to learn kind of the town and layout of kind of where things are. And sometimes it's just kind of common sense. Like, I had one quest where the miller was being threatened by a couple people in town, and I needed to go talk to them. And I'm like, well, where the fuck are these assholes? They're in the bar drinking because they were drunk, you know? So it's nice in that regard, but it's also a bit like, well, fuck you too. I guess I'll go fucking wander around for 3 hours kind of situation.
Sounds like you're really upset. I do remember this game, actually, because it was like the biggest crowdfunding game.
Yeah, it's one of the Kickstarter darlings in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got like $4 million or something like that.
It was one of the games that put Kickstarter on the map for game funding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that makes
ridiculous.
Sense because there's a massive amount of like, basically if you kickstarted the game, you could have like your own little blurb thing. I'm not going to spoil how it happens, but I run into these people all over the place. It's just like, damn, don't you guys have a home? Fuck. Go home.
Yeah, and it's made by Obsidian, who's done Fallout New Vegas and Stick of Truth.
Obsidian, the developer that everybody wants to love, but they keep making broken games, so...
Have they?
New Vegas was pretty broken.
New Vegas.
I didn't play that when it first came out.
I've noticed with Obsidian, if they're making their own game, they do a lot better than if they're making somebody else's game.
I don't know. I mean, there's Alpha Protocol.
We don't talk about Alpha Protocol.
I mean, I am a staunch defender of Alpha Protocol. I think it's one of the best games ever, but it is broken as hell and weird. And also, like, in terms like the catalog of games that they made that are not other people's games, I think it might be two at this point. It's Alpha Protocol and Pillars of Eternity. Because the other games they've made are like KOTOR 2, Neverwinter's Night 2.
Was not good without the expansion.
Yeah. And then like Dungeon Siege 3, you know, Wasteland 2, you know, like.
Wasteland 2, is that still broken?
I don't know. Also, I don't know if they didn't work on that exclusively. I think they like ported it or something. I'm on their page right now and just things that they're associated with. So I'm just reading off names. Co-developed with
Inches. Yeah, so that's cool, Kelsey. That sounds like a cool game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like, if you are a fan of the genre and you're like, well, I don't know, everyone's probably just kind of hyping it up, I'd say get it. Like, maybe if you want to wait for it to go on sale, that's you. But, yeah, I'm loving it. It's really good. I'm going to actually be playing it on my channel, so.
All right, yeah.
What's your channel, Kelsey?
Yeah, let's...
Oh, God. It's Loveless Games. There's nothing on there right now but Sim stuff. And I promise Azaria I'm not talking about Sim stuff.
Loveless Games where?
I am on Twitch as Loveluster and YouTube as Loveless Games. Also on Twitter.
You need to make one join the
Twitter name. Twitch won't let me change it. So that's the only thing I'm Loveluster on. And everything else I'm Loveless Games.
Okay.
Damn you,
well,
Twitch.
Steve, I think we're on to you.
Yeah, well, I've been playing Omega Quintet.
And that's a PS4 game that's not out yet.
It's not out yet. And it comes out, I think, what day does that come out?
April 20-something.
The 28th, maybe?
28th.
Yeah. So
April
days.
28th.
Yeah. Comes out
when you spend $80 on a video game, you know what day it comes out.
Off ALE, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I think that you won't be disappointed at all. I'm really enjoying it. The story is a real slow burn, though. The first 5 hours of it, there's really not much going on. It's a lot of layout of, you know, this world and kind of what's going on in it. Mm-hmm. The maps are huge for a compile heart game. It is absolutely ridiculous. I'm used to like little simple dungeons that you kind of run through in like just a few minutes each dungeon. These maps are humongous. They're sprawling, and they go forever, it seems. And they connect each area seems may connect to the other areas. I've noticed that has happened in a few instances, but it kind of works like if you've ever played Mugen Souls, you have a lot of field skills that each girl will have. There, some of them will be able to dispel this type of barrier, and some of them will be able to dispel the other type, and you'll be able to do jumps and knock down barriers and such. So you have to level those skills up to access certain areas of the map as you progress the story and do the side quest. And go ahead.
Well, I just want to know how the idol thing plays into this game, because there's so much going on in the trailers. It's a JRPG, but it's also an idol simulator.
Well, the girls are idols because they're basically called verse maidens, and these things called the Blair have invaded their world and are destroying it, and the only thing that can dispel them is the power of song. So you need
obviously
because, you know, it's a JRPG with idols. What else would you have going on?
Yeah, sounds like Persona Dancing All Night's premise.
And that's basically how that all falls in there. And, you know, let's see. The quest and the main missions for the main story, they work a lot like Neptunia does. you'll have like some main missions, then you'll have a lot of side missions. But the side missions are timed. Every side mission on that game has a time limit. So you want to do those before you finish the main missions for that section, or you will miss stuff.
Oh, okay.
You will miss things. It's got a PV maker or a video maker where you can make your own videos with the girls. Really simple.
Can't you use the PlayStation camera
to put
your face behind them?
You can. I don't have one, but you can do that.
I do.
I think it works with the PlayStation, and I think it has some Move support, but I don't know what you would do with the PlayStation Move exactly.
I think you control like the glitter on the screen or something like that. Probably. With the. Yeah, it's just something silly like that.
I don't have everything unlocked for that yet, because you unlock things for that as you go through the story as well. I've got about 5 songs unlocked. I don't know how many there are in total, because I'm guessing I'm a little more than halfway through the game.
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot of songs in this game.
I like all the songs. The music is really, really good in it. All the combat music and field music's really good. The combat system is going to seem overwhelming to a lot of people, because it is every kind of JRPG system combat that I can think of threw into one combat system. And it's going to seem really, really complicated at first, but it is not near as complicated as it seems.
So super long tutorials in the beginning of the game?
Not long tutorials, but a lot of them. You'll get like little 3-screen, this does this, and gone.
With like all this huge different multicolored text everywhere, and you just don't know what to look at. That's what Mugen Souls throws at you in the beginning.
And honestly, that's one thing that I'm going to complain about in the review, is that they throw so much information at you so fast that you really don't absorb it until you start trying to do it in combat.
Yeah. What I was wondering is, so Neptunia falls into this category when you're running through dungeons of repetition, where all the dungeons kind of look the same. Does this game?
No.
I noticed that. Well, the dungeon that they showed was super different looking, but yeah, I just wanted to ask.
No, not at all. These dungeons are big and sprawling. Like, just take like you lit, look. Thank you. Laid every Neptunia dungeon for the whole game out in one big gigantic map. They just kept going. I mean, there's different areas, and each area is big in itself, and like some of these areas are big, and like it actually takes a while to walk from one place to the other. I mean, you can teleport between the save points, which will save you a ton of time doing that, and actually later on you'll actually upgrade your walk speed on the map to where it'll actually, you can zip right through there a little faster. But these maps are big. The combat itself is completely turn-based. You won't move.
Does it look like a JRPG on the PS4?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. It looks like it's really not. I wouldn't call the graphics up to what I would think the PS4 should be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been able to do a little better than that. They're not bad. They look better than the PS3 games do. And they definitely got the frame rate down. There's no horrible frame rate issues like you used to get with some of their PS3 releases.
Well, I'm thinking that they did this to learn the PS4 before they started on
V2.
Hyper Dimension Neptunia 5.2.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably. And let's see. I was trying to think if there's anything else I really want to talk about. Oh, you can customize these girls to no end. You can change their hair, their eye color, their costume.
Kansu.
Absolutely. Tons and tons of that to unlock. Azorio is very happy. The item system and the way you make items on there kind of works like Mugen Souls. You know, you had to sell so much of an item before you could get other items unlocked. Here you'll actually disassemble items to do that. But it works basically the same way as that.
That's cool.
And I'm really starting to enjoy the story, even though it was a really slow burn. There's a lot of lore. You pick up a lot of journal entries that explain backstory for all the girls and what's been going on in this world prior to you starting the game. And you can read those as you find them. It's very interesting, because they've definitely made a big lore with this. And this is one of those, I don't know how you say that, Galifos or Galifos RPGs. You know, the ones like, it was like Fairy Fencer, where they got a bunch of guys together from the JRPG community, and they made games for Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those games. So, and you can, it shows, just like with Fairy Fencer, it really shows that There's a lot.
Yeah, so that's Omega Quintet coming to the PS4. And Steve, we'll get you on the show again around that time so that we can talk about that game, because it is kind of the first JRPG on the PS4, I believe.
Yeah, I'll have probably my review will be ready sometime next week. I've got about 30 hours in it. I think I'm getting to a little bit more than the halfway point. I like to say when I hit this part of an RPG, I'm hitting my stride. This is where this is where I start making shit happen, and we start going through it real quick. So.
All right. Well, I'll just say real quick what I've been doing. I platinumed a PS Vita game, Criminal Girls Invite Only. Platinumed it. Never have to play that fucking game again.
Are you invited?
They invited me, yes.
Okay.
I'm waiting on my CG gallery.
Yeah, I unlocked the whole CG gallery, so I told Steve, you don't have to play this game, I'll just send you the only reason why you would.
I need the CG.
This is the game that started some censor controversy because they brought it over and they censored weird parts of it. But it's weird because in the CG gallery, the pictures are way worse than the ones that are in the mini games. So I don't understand what they were thinking, but whatever. Platinum that. I'm still playing, if you listen to the last week's show, I'm still playing Final Fantasy Record Keeper on the cell phone.
You're such a horror, Zario.
It's a DNA game with Square Enix for Final Fantasy, and basically just I like the idea. The music is what keeps me playing, because it's the only time that I take my phone off vibrate to actually listen to the music, because it actually has the music of every Final Fantasy. And right now there's an event where you can where you're climbing up the tower to fight Reno in Final Fantasy VII. So there's like every level of the tower you go through a battle. And I haven't put any money into it.
I figured that, you know, they sucked you in with the nostalgia factor of that music, and as I was like, ooh, we gotta pay some money, we gotta get to the top.
$2.99, nothing. There's a tier on there for $84.99, and I'm thinking somebody somewhere clicked that button, and I would never do it. The only reason to put money into it is if you want rare weapons. That's all. Or rare relics. Like, if you want the Buster Sword, you'd probably have to put money in to get that. And but I'm sure there's going to be somewhere down the line where you can get it yourself. Also, if you want to speed up getting gems or something. But, Final Fantasy Record Keeper. It's free on the cell phone. Pick it up if you don't have anything to play while you're in class, because that's when I play it. That's when I play it the most, with lectures going on.
Really getting the most out of that education that you're paying for, is there?
Well, I play like the easier levels, and I just put it on auto battle, and I just have the battle. Because you can like collect equip abilities and like certain attacks, but usually on the easier stuff, you just have to attack. You're not gonna.
I used to do that in my school, and then someone pointed out that for every class at my school specifically, at least, and granted the school I went to, I paid way too much money for the education I was getting. Someone pointed out for every class that you miss, you're paying basically $700 to not go to something. And I was like, I think I'm going to go to class from now on.
When you put it in perspective.
Yeah.
I got a platinum and played Record Keeper. I watched Daredevil. If anyone's seen Daredevil.
With Ben Affleck, my favorite.
No, calm shit. Down.
You're holding
calm down, God. Hollywood.
You should watch that scene where he tries to get Jennifer Gardner's name. It's pretty fucking bad.
Is that where they're in the coffee shop? I can't remember that movie.
There's a coffee shop scene, I think, but I'm talking about where they're fighting in the playground.
Oh, yeah.
I never realized how much that movie was trying to make Daredevil seem like Neo and the Matrix. Like, he has the same glasses, and, like, they're doing the same type of kung fu moves and stuff. Yeah, like, he does, like, the whole, like, hold up his hand and then, like, use the two fingers to, like, come at me, bro, you know? Like, the same thing.
Wow. Like, yeah, I watched the movie once, I think, when it came out, and I was like, all right, whatever. I don't remember anything about it, but everyone's always, like, bagging on it.
So. Another good part of that movie is when he's in the biker bar, And one of the bikers asks him, like, who are you? What do you want? And he says, justice. And then he kills everyone in the bar.
And he just kills everyone. Yeah, in the show, the show's on Netflix. Oh my gosh, it's brilliant.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's really bloody.
Ooh.
Considering it's by it's made by Marvel, and Disney has Marvel now, but
Rosario Dawson is on the show, apparently.
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson is always in everything.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true.
Avatar Kelsey, wasn't that. Archer, not that either.
So, you guys, enough of this. We're going to move on to the news.
Top five? Fuck, she wasn't that.
Hello and welcome back to the Total Control Podcast. We're going to start some news and some exciting things that I think happened. A lot happened. But my favorite, by far,
was the new Tyler, the Creator album.
It was not. That's my like seventh favorite.
Dude, the Brown Stains of Darkies Latif Parts 6-12 remix, probably the best song on that whole album, right?
Is that the whole song title?
That is one song title, correct?
I don't know how I'm gonna type that into Google to.
Just type in the Brown Stains and it'll fill out the rest, probably.
Yeah, you go ahead and type that into Google. Let me know what happens.
I'm scared to type stains to Google. I'm not going to fall into your internet trap, Arthur. Just to fill up my browsing history with ridiculous terms.
It'll be good. Dark East Latif.
It's like, have you ever Googled your name and then the hedgehog afterwards?
No.
And then seen what the first picture that comes up is?
Or your favorite video game plus Linkin Park into YouTube? I bet you'll find something.
Stop ruining the internet for me. What the fuck?
And if not, I'll find something. You guys.
What? So back to the news. Tales of Zestiria is coming out this year. With dual audio, and this is kind of the first time that that's happened for Tales of game. So you get Japanese and English, and I'm not sure of anything else. I think there's other written text, but I think
this is the second time. Didn't the Tales of Symphonia Chronicles have dual audio?
No, it didn't.
It didn't? I thought it did.
No, I don't think it did. Oh, wait, no. It did. But that was the remaster. That was the HD one.
Right, I'm talking about the remasters. They had dual audio, didn't they?
Yeah. So the HD one did.
Yeah.
I think so. Arthur, check that.
What am I looking up?
If the Tales of Symphonia remastered had dual audio.
I think it did.
I think it did, too.
Anyways.
Yeah, so this game's coming out this year, which is exciting that we don't have to wait 2 years for it to come out. It'll be coming. Okay, cool. Thank you, research team. So that's cool. It's coming to PS3. I wish they would just put it on PS4 too. But I don't think
there's a rumored Steam listing for that, so it could happen. It could go to Steam and PS4 later. It is a possibility.
That would be really cool. I feel like PS3 people have been putting their PS3s away. I haven't. But I feel like that's a thing where people just move on, and they shouldn't, because there's some awesome games coming to PS3 still this year. And next year, too. I feel like some games were announced for next year for PS3. But so this is exciting news. This is the newest entry in the Tales of series. So it's fall, I believe, this year that's coming out?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Also, moving on, unless you guys have something to say for that.
No.
Arthur, what you will be excited for is more Bandai Namco news. J-Stars has a release date.
Oh, man.
I know.
When's it out?
I know you loved your Shonen Jump. Shonen Jump.
I'm a bit hurt that you don't know that I'm also looking forward to that, but all right.
Are you really?
I am.
You're going to get it on what?
computer.
Is it coming to PC?
Not that I know of.
No, so get a PS4.
I'm a poor live streamer. I can't afford fancy new age things.
Hey, like everyone, next-gen consoles. Kelsey's Twitter or Twitch channel so that she can afford a PS4 with all that Twitch, with all those Twitch millions.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, so this game is coming out June 30th. Pretty soon, two months on all three PlayStation platforms.
J-Star's Victory VS, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Plus.
So this is by Spike Chunsoft, and it's just the fighter with the Shonen Jump. With all, like, it has Dragon Ball characters in it, One Piece, Bleach, I believe.
Yeah.
And Naruto. I stopped watching Naruto a long time ago.
I think everyone did.
You mean Naruto?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. No one cares.
Naruto.
I watched Dragon Ball.
You know they're
Ball.
Like making a movie for like the main character's kids, right?
Yeah.
I heard something like that. I'm glad it's over, but then I hear that they're going to do spin-offs.
Of course.
Of course they're doing spin-offs. It was a successful franchise.
We must milk it to death.
I don't feel like they should have ended it, but that kind of makes me scared because I really enjoy One Piece, and I don't want that to ever end. That's coming up on 700 episodes on the anime.
Yeah, I wanted to watch One Piece, and now I've seen there were 700 episodes, and I'm like, I'll never watch that.
Oh my God, Steve, me too.
if you read the manga, it'll probably take you a week to get up to that point.
I can't do it.
They should make a sequel and call it the Naruto.
Please don't do that.
Boom.
No, don't.
When I edit that, Arthur, I'm gonna make the pause. I'm gonna make the pause a lot longer.
Okay. Do that, yeah. Just leave it for like a minute.
You just killed.
Did you guys get it? Because it's
don't keep trying. You're just hurting yourself. Okay, no, like so, the sequel's name is like Baruto because that's what he named his daughter.
Baruto?
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
No, it's not. Don't lie to yourself.
But, yeah, J-Stars. June 30th. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and Vita. Also, pretty exciting news, I suppose, for myself and Steve. Star Ocean 5 is getting announced, or got announced. Square Enix announced that they're making that. It's been 6 years since the last Star Ocean. And the last few weren't that good.
So, you know, I know nothing about Star Ocean.
I didn't play the first two. I did not play
them. Oh, okay.
I started with the PS2 one. And then I played the one on the PS3. So.
Yeah, the first two were on what? They're on Super Nintendo, I believe?
Oh, I think so. And then they were on the PlayStation, and then they got PSP remakes?
Oh, yeah, see, they got PSP. I played the PSP ones, and I played
which because Square is retarded, they're not in on PSN that you can go get them right now, which is dumb.
They need to fix that because they could be selling those copies.
I don't understand why those ain't on there, and Birth by Sleep and Crisis Core. I don't understand why I cannot go buy those on PSN for my Vita.
Well, Birth by Sleep's on the Kingdom Hearts 2.5, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to release Crisis Core HD. It's coming.
Honestly, I'd be okay with that. Crisis Core is probably one of the best Final Fantasy games that they made recently.
I agree. So Star Ocean 5. Arthur, I need to know what you're laughing at.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at unrelated things.
Oh, sorry.
Is it Eroge?
No, this is an owl getting thrown.
Is that what you do in your spare time? Owlery?
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 Is that something close owlery. To bestiary?
No.
Isn't it beastry?
I believe it's bestiality, Azari.
Okay, that's
it. You furry. Just admit it. It's
okay. No, wow. It's I'm looking at an imager while I wait.
All those feathers would get in the way, but you're all about it. That's cool.
Well, you know
something you said about your AAA love game.
That's what I was waiting for.
But you're not going to get it this week.
Fuck.
Because So back to Star Ocean 5. I don't know if this game is being localized.
Well, they just announced it, so give them 10 minutes.
Hey, dude, I'm American. I want my burger made now, and I want it made fast and greasy.
And vegan.
And vegan. Vegetarian, at least.
Vegetarian, at least.
So that's like the quick news, but I want to put this on to you, Steve, that if he had a presser the other day.
Yeah, and we expected a lot more than what we got out of it, but nonetheless, there was some news come out of that. Let me pull this email up here so I got everything in one spot. First off, Neptunia U, the action-based Neptunia game with the clothing damage, will be out May 19th for the PS Vita. Got a release date. MK2 will be heading to Steam on the same day. And why you release two games on the same day, IFI, I will never understand, but I guess.
I think Nintendo did that a couple Christmases ago, right? They did like Mario and Link on the same day or something like that.
I guess they think it's on two different platforms. It'll be fine. Probably one probably won't affect the other, but it's just a little.
Yeah, no one wants to spend $120 on the day that an Xbox One comes out.
Neptunia Rebirth 3 V Generation was announced for Steam. It'll be hitting Steam in the fall of this year.
And that game comes to Vita this summer?
It'll be on Vita this summer, but they've not got a concrete release date yet. I'm seeing late June, early July is what I'm seeing floating out there, but that's not being confirmed. And the last thing they announced was an Otome novel called Amnesia Memories. And this will be coming to Vita and Steam. And I know very little about this game other than it is an Otome novel. But I think it's
I think
Azario knows a little more than I do on this one.
It's just a story that follows a young woman who you play as she gets in an accident and ends up in the hospital with, you guessed it, amnesia. It's like that movie, While You Were Sleeping, for those who have watched old movies, about a guy who falls off of the train, like a train track or something, and gets amnesia, and the girl thinks she's really hot.
Old movies.
Yeah,
it's an old movie. Oh, yeah, 1995.
95? You guys were just being bored.
Oh, fucking rolling history here.
I was not. I am offended by that, Azaria.
Your mother.
For Arthur and Kelsey. That was the year you guys were bored.
I was here in 1978. I'm old. Geez.
I was born in 91, and more importantly, I watch a lot of movies, and the concept of 95 being old is kind of ridiculous, but okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to date myself, but I was well born, sir. I thank you.
The 90s was a long time for me.
You know that old classic film, Fight Club?
Wow.
It was an old movie.
Oh, old movie.
It's like 20 years old.
The Godfather is an old movie, okay?
You guys, okay, anything in 90s and before is old.
No.
So I'm old?
God.
Fuck you.
You're pretty old.
Fuck you, Azario.
Exactly. Fuck it
I didn't mean to start a war.
God damn.
Didn't you, though?
I didn't mean to start a war, you guys.
Talk about how fucking old I am today. You God.
You know, you could have said it came out a while ago. That's a better way to say it.
Okay.
It's a better way than calling us all fucking old.
I'll just bleep out the word old.
He's probably taking
it. I know Arthur went to go check out this movie thinking that it was like 75 or something.
Yeah, it's like, oh, old movie.
The fucking Three Stooges were in it.
God, to Azario, I got to get my walker and take my fucking Geritol before I can get out of bed in the morning.
Anyway.
Isn't that old film, Dumb and Dumber? That's even older than the one you just mentioned.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Continue.
I'm sorry. So anyway. While You're Sleeping is a movie about a guy who falls and hits his head and gets amnesia. And this girl, to see him because she thinks he's hot, never really talked to him, just saw him fall, said that they were engaged. And spoilers,
mm-hmm.
She falls in love with his brother.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And on their wedding day, she tells him. Oh, and the guy's like in a wheelchair, I believe, too.
Because he's old.
It's a good movie.
And he leans in.
Anyways,
you're a heart.
So Amnesia is about this girl supposedly being in love with one of five different male characters, and basically you get to go on dates and hang out. And
what's the subtitle for this game again?
I don't know.
The Dark Descent.
I hope so.
I guarantee that's not it. But
it's the wrong Amnesia, friend.
It's Amnesia while you were sleeping.
Memories. It's called Memories.
Is it called
Memories? Oh, yeah, Memories. Yeah, so it's a visual novel. You're not going to get much.
I can read from the press release what it says. It says, can love transcend time, space, and lost memories? Delve into this question with Amnesia Memories.
Okay.
Just based on that description, pass.
Can this?
Okay, I think I'm more excited about this.
Okay, you know, I just want to say though, like the game might sound interesting, but can this publisher understand like the world of Google today? It's like me googling the Who, right? Like that's a band, so it's no problem.
Let's see. And to read on from the press release, it says, in this visual novel, your life depends on hiding your recent loss of memory while you navigate complex relationship with five men. Will you be able to piece together that which was forgotten and rewrite the lasting love story you deserve? Or will your love story come to an end? Dun, dun, dun.
I just hope they know that when I Google Amnesia Memories, I'm not getting this game. I'm getting...
You gotta put Vita afterwards.
Vita, okay.
But this is for the female Vita users. This is good. We need variety.
Exactly.
Will I be picking it up? The answer is yes. I will be buying this game.
It's not for me, but I'm glad they're doing these because, you know, hey, they release stuff for guys and they'd release stuff for the gals too.
Well, I'm definitely excited about getting more games like this, but it's one of those things I'll have to actually see before I know if I want to get it.
Well, it's on Vita, Kelsey, so you probably...
Well, it's going to be on Steam, too.
Your mother, Azario.
it's coming to Steam, too?
It's coming to Steam, too, Kelsey, so you'll be able to check it out.
Yeah, suck on that, Azario. Suck on that Steam. Yeah.
You'll be able to check it out on Steam, so...
You'll probably get it for a lot cheaper than I do.
Damn right.
Probably.
Also, guys... moving on, Project X Zone 2 was announced. Steve, I don't know anything about this game.
The first one was a crossover between Capcom, Namco. Who else was in there, KLZ? Do you remember? I remember Capcom and Namco.
Sega!
There we go. And Sega. And the first one was like a strategy game, and they mixed all these characters up in a big crossover world, and it was like very, very fan servicey for those who were fans of those companies and games they've localized over the years. Combat was basically a button masher, in my opinion, more so than a strategy game. But for the price, it was a fun little romp.
I like it, because I'm not huge on fighting games, but when I do get the urge to play one, at the time there wasn't anything kind of on the 3DS, so I was like, oh, I'll pick this up because it looked like a fighting game, but it's more of a button masher. Yeah. But I haven't played it since Smash came out, so.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't the greatest thing I ever played, but it was fun, and it definitely serviced the fans that it was targeted at, so.
So is this another, just more of that?
I would imagine, probably, from looks of it. I mean, we don't know a whole lot yet, but.
Nice. Well, that's all our news, guys. Arthur, do you have anything to bring to the table?
I'm looking at this comic right now, and it's Link going through this the Fire Dungeon, and then he's sailing across the seas of Wind Waker, and then he's doing the Water Dungeon, and then he slays Ganondorf. And then the last panel, Zelda talks to Link, and she says, I'm not really looking for anything serious right now.
That reminds me of something. So Mario Maker is coming to Wii U. No, I'll get to it. Now, just to bounce this idea off you guys, since this is kind of a shorter podcast, the Maker series could it extend to maybe Zelda or Metroid or Castlevania? I don't know.
Like Maker stuff?
Yeah, the Maker, like Mario Maker, Zelda Maker.
I don't see why I wouldn't be able to if it picks up enough steam.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Mario is kind of more self-contained because there are individual levels, whereas Zelda and Metroid are expansive worlds.
Yeah, but would it be possible to make that type of world? Like,
I mean, anything is possible, but I don't think it'd be very marketable to the idiots who play video games.
So. Yeah, because you would have to put a lot of time into it. But you get things like Little Big Planet, who these people put in hours and hours of game creation.
But that's not the norm, and also a lot of that stuff is kind of awful. Like, I don't know if there's that video that came out a few months ago of someone recreated a big portion of Final Fantasy VII, whatever.
Yeah.
And that it's like, really cool. They used all the tools to restructure the cutscenes of Final Fantasy VII, but like actually playing that map looks boring as hell. You're basically just jumping on trigger points and watching people walk around, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll leave making Zelda games to Nintendo, personally.
I think in one of the casts to come, we should do an E3 prediction, since that's coming up. Maybe bring 5 things to the table that we feel...
Or 3.
Azario,
3 or 5.
I got something that I want to bring up here, Azario. GameArt's done a survey for PC ports this week. People who don't know who GameArt's are, they made things like Grandia and Lunar and some pretty classic RPGs. They're doing a poll right now asking what games fans would like to see ported to Steam. So that could come out really, really interesting. We might get some pretty good stuff on Steam out of that.
Is Lunar on Steam yet?
No. Lunar's not on Steam yet. None of the GameArt stuff is, but they're doing a survey.
Lunar would do good on Steam.
Are you talking about their games specifically?
Yes, their games specifically.
Are they creating anything else?
I'd love to see Mario on Steam.
We might see Mario on mobile phones pretty
soon.
Make
it happen, guys.
He sounds so enthused about that.
When Arthur said that, I felt a disturbance in the Nintendo fan bases. They all screamed out in anger at the same time.
I'm more upset that Fantasy Life is going mobile than on the Wii.
That is such horseshit.
I'm so upset by that.
And they're like, well, we were targeting a more adult audience with it. And I'm like, really? Really?
You can
really?
Suck my adult nuts.
Level 5 is just sold out. They need to just admit it. Hey, we sold out. And be done.
Like, if you want to make a game for mobile, do it. Whatever. But don't, especially for Fantasy Life, it has the bones there to go on a bigger platform.
Right.
And instead, they backspaced it. And I'm like, if you want to do it like that, cool. But don't pretend that it's, you know, in the fans' best interest, because it's not.
Right.
It's reusing old assets so you can make a buck. Don't pretend otherwise.
Another thing that's been going on this week a lot, I've seen on Twitter, that's not kind of related to that, but not really, because it's actually going in the other direction, is that there's a lot of people upset that IFI is putting the Neptunia games on Steam. They're like, oh my God, it's going to kill the Vita, and it's blah, blah, blah. You know what? As long as they bring the Vita games with the Steam games, I have no problem with this, because all that does is it takes one of my favorite franchises and it expands it out to where more people can play it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Those Vita games sell.
They do.
They sell enough copies for them to continue.
As long as they bring both versions of it, I am perfectly 100% fine with it. As a matter of fact, franchise fans have been longtime franchise fans like me should be proud that these games now warrant enough you know, credit in the West to get a Steam release. That means they've become popular enough that it's viable for them to do that.
Exactly, yeah.
You should be proud that something you love that started out as something that everybody was just totally against has grown to this over time.
But, completely agree. It's just, I'll probably pick up Fantasy Life 2 just because it'll be on mobile. But as a general rule, I don't enjoy mobile games. I buy games on my 3DS because, I'm spending more for it up front, but in the long run, I have way more fun with them.
Right.
So, the fact that, I hate to use the term casual, but
Casual.
Filthy casual.
Exactly why I hate using the term. But, when you take something like Fantasy Life that, like, when we got it here in the West, it was already 2 years old. So it already felt a bit outdated, as is. And now, instead of building upon that success, you want to just kind of cash in. Like, yeah, that was probably one of the best newer IPs I played on the 3DS in a long time. So I'm just a little butthurt.
Well, I mean, for me, I don't play mobile games because, one, I got huge hands. And if you don't have buttons on there and, like, actual controls, I can't hardly play that shit.
Yeah.
I can palm a 3DS XL.
Nice.
I mean, my hands are huge, and I can't hardly do that. Because it's like you talk about carpal tunnel syndrome. It's like, holy shit, you know.
Well, guys, I think we're at the bottom of the barrel for episode 31. What do you say we
wrap this up? I'm saying your mother is our
own. You don't
want to
hear more about Steve's hands?
I'm actually going to end the podcast so that I can talk about his hands even more.
Wow.
Wow, so it's pretty intimate.
That has been episode 31, guys. You can follow us on Twitter at The Total Control. You can follow me at Zario Says, Arthur at Arthur Augustine.
You spelled my name wrong in the description last week, by the way.
Well, I put the link right, right?
You did put the link right, but
there you go.
So you know.
And that's all that
Kelsey
matters.
Kelsey at Lovelust Games and Steve at Steve _ Baltimore. And Steve is almost at 800 followers, surprisingly. Since I'm the star of the show and he has more followers than me.
Wow, you sound salty as fuck.
You just gotta hang out on Twitter, Azario. You don't hang out with folks on.
I don't hang out. That's my problem, and I don't post enough ecchi.
Well, I post some ecchis on.
I thought my Fate Ilya banner would do me some followers, but no.
You gotta post Fate Ilya pictures and then you can get some followers.
Yeah. I don't want those followers though. I like it just you and me right now. Fine.
We're good.
So yes, we ask you to please continue to visit operainfall.com and read the articles and comment them, because without that we wouldn't be a podcast. Thank you for listening to episode 31.
America's champion, Hillary Clinton, 2016.